Let's open our Bibles back to the last section of the book of Proverbs, the section put together by the men of King Hezekiah sometime in the late 700s BC. Remember that Proverbs are short, pithy sayings intended to kind of help us get a better mental handle on things. And so let's just work our way through some of them. Proverbs 26:17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Now we have to picture the dog being not a little poodle or something like that, but a little bit more dangerous sort of dog that you don't know, and you just grab it by both ears. And of course, we have a more modern proverb that you can't let go of a dog that you have both of its ears hold of, because it's dangerous. And that's the point. If you go around sticking your nose into other people's business when you don't belong there, I mean, you're not related, you don't have any connection with either party, then you're taking a dog, a dangerous dog, by the ears. Verses 18 and 19, I have quoted many times to people that seem to think they can say something rude or mean or even untrue and then get away with it by just simply saying, oh, I'm just joking. I'm only kidding. And it reminds me that back when I was a teenager, 50 years ago now, we would have this problem. I engaged in it as well. We would be mean and rude and crude and sometimes unfair to other people by things that we said to them or about them. And then we turn around and say, no, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding, man. Don't worry about it. Here's the passage. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. It's not appropriate. We need to speak the truth in love to and about people. And if we have a criticism, we need to be thoughtful in that criticism of the people. And we should not be trying to hide behind this idea of, I'm just joking. If you can't tell, I already don't like what's called roasts, where people gather and supposedly honor someone by just saying mean and nasty things about them. And I don't care for an awful lot of the stand-up comedy or the late-night comics who seem to be just involved in insulting other people. It's not appropriate. And I hope if any of you have been engaging in it, that you will wisely repent and get away from it. Verse 20. For the lack of wood, the fire goes out. We all understand that. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. The whisperer in this is the person that's keeping things hot, keeping things going. They're passing on rumors and innuendos, and they're trying to keep the pot stirred. Not appropriate. That needs to stop so the quarreling will stop. We've got a theme that we're building on here about not causing trouble, right? Verse 21. As charcoal is to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So somebody wants to fight and argue and bicker, you know, just a troublemaker, a rabble-rouser. They just keep adding fuel to a fire. They keep making the fire of controversy burn. And there's clearly some people in social media and in political commentary and religious conversations, that's their only goal, is to just cause trouble. And the idea of the proverb here is We don't need that. We don't need people like that. Verse 22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inward parts of the body. Now, we have some nice words there, but it's a bad context for those nice words. All of us like a delicious little piece of candy or a delicious little hors d'oeuvre, and it goes right down into our bellies and it makes us happy, right? That's not the point of this. The point is that people that want to gossip and stir up trouble, the whisperer from our earlier verse, they provide what sounds like something you want to hear, something you're interested in, but they're really only just raising controversy. And so just because it's tasty to our ears and to our psyche doesn't mean we should be swallowing it whole. I try to remind people all the time, when people start telling you things and it meets your expectations and it kind of fits your political frame and things like that, don't necessarily believe everything you're told. Check it out. Because the words of a whisperer are just like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body, but they're only there to cause trouble, and that's not good. Verse 23, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel. So you think about a pot, a clay pot. It's been thrown and shaped, and then it's put into the kiln. And before you do that, you put a glaze on it, or perhaps partway through the process, you put a glaze on it to make it shiny and beautiful. That's the idea. Like a glaze covering an earthen vessel, are fervent lips with an evil heart. So some people put a nice outward look on bad stuff. They dress it up, they sugarcoat it, or they shellac it, and they make it look pretty, when in fact, it's just evil. It's just hatred and not appropriate. Verse 24, whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. So we're still on this same theme of people causing trouble. So they disguise what they're saying. They couch it in things like, do you think it might be true that? Or, I heard, but I'm not so sure it's true. What do you think? And then they blurt it out. That's not appropriate. It's just gossip. It's just passing on things intended to do evil things to other people. They just dress it up. Verse 25 goes on. When he speaks graciously, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. So you might even get schmoozed by someone. They start saying nice things to you, about you, and they've always been a problem in the past, and you think, well, what are they up to? You're suspicious, and you ought to be for many of these people, because their gracious speaking is just a cover-up for the seven abominations they have in their heart. Verse 26, though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. So eventually, it'll all come out. Eventually, it'll be clear. I have to confess that I have been backstabbed more than once in my long life, and it hurts. It hurts especially when it comes from somebody that you have trusted and shared information with, thinking that it would go no farther than them. And that's not good, especially if they speak well to your face and then you find out later they're speaking bad to your back. The Proverbs is warning about that. And it's not just simply warning against it, but I think also encouraging people who engage in it to repent, to knock it off and do the right thing. Verse 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. The digging of a pit here is to trap someone else. That's the idea. So whoever digs a pit with negative intentions will end up falling into it. And a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. Picture the old cartoons or the old, Three Stooges and things like that, where people are trying to roll stones down the hill. They're trying to catch people in pits. And instead, the other people, the bad people, keep getting caught in their own little traps. That's the idea. Boomerang effect is the way I like to refer to it, is that with God's help, what other people intend negatively toward us will blow up in their own face. Verse 28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Pretty straight up, we understand that when people lie, they're trying to do us damage. When people flatter, though, sometimes, and they're lying behind the scenes, they're also trying to do us damage. And so watch out for people that fall into that category, but also don't be one of those people. Chapter 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Now, this is used in the New Testament, the principle. It's used in one of Jesus' parables where a guy that has been very prosperous, he doesn't have enough places to store all his goodies, so he tears down his current storage, puts up new, and then tells himself, yeah, you've got everything you need. And then God comes on the scene and says, no, you don't, because you're going to be dying tonight. And then who's going to get all this stuff? See, you don't know what the future holds. The one that's, I think, a little bit more specific to this proverb is the one in James, chapter number 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, we'll engage in business, and we will make a profit. Yet, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So we need to acknowledge that we don't have control over the future. And even the things that we do that have a reasonable expectation of succeeding, we're not guaranteed that. So don't boast about it. As we used to say, don't count your chickens before they hatch, right? Verse 2, I bring this up from time to time and remind people that if you appreciate, your preachers, your teachers, your coach, whoever it is in your life that does good things to you, for you and to you, speak well of them. Talk to other people about them, because they shouldn't have to self-promote. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. There is no room for self-promotion. I know we live in a society that we are told that you have to self-promote, that you have to get your brand out there and get it visible. But if your product is good, if what you're doing is good, other people should be talking positively about it. And so from time to time, I try to make sure that I say good things about services I use or people that I appreciate, because they need to be promoted by those that know them. Verse number 3. A stone is heavy, sand is weighty. Yeah, that's true. But a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Fool's provocation. Remember, a fool is somebody that has no respect for authority, for God. They think that they are at the center of everything. And so if he gets involved in this idea of, hey, everybody ought to be paying attention to me. Everybody should do things my way. And if you don't do it that way, you're a bad person. I don't like you anymore. Well, that is much heavier than the heaviest stone you've ever tried to move or the biggest bunch of sand that you've ever had dump on you. Wrath is cruel, verse 4 says. Anger is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? The jealousy here is probably better by the word envy, where you get upset that other people have things that you don't have, or they have more supporters than you have, and you get upset over that. Envy is a concern about the intrusion of another party into your own relationships. And so it is dangerous. It is bad. Wrath is tough. That's true. And anger can really overwhelm you. But envy, jealousy, it's something else. Verse number 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. This is a passage related to tough love. I think all of us understand what we mean when we say tough love. It is when we have to sometimes tell the people we love that they're in the wrong or they're not doing things properly. They need to change. They need to do something different. Now, if they understand that we love them, then they should understand that that rebuke is for their benefit, that critique is for their benefit. Because you see, if we love them and keep our mouth shut, that is the hidden love part of this, are we really helping them? And the answer is no. If we let people go on doing things that are not appropriate, we don't love those people. Verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's still on the same topic that verse 5 was on. That sometimes our friends will hurt our feelings. And that's true. I mean, my best friend is my wife. We've been together since we were freshman in high school. We've been friends. And we've been married for getting close to 48 years. Actually, by the time this broadcast airs, it'll be 48 years. And sometimes she hurts my feelings. And she knows she does. And I have to tell, no, I know you're telling me what I need to hear. Yes, it does hurt my feelings, but I needed to hear it, right? And same thing, my direction toward her. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why? Because they're intended to help. But the second part of the proverb is profuse. That's like happening in great extravagant ways. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You see, wounds are a negative. Kisses are a positive, right? But not so in this proverb. The wounds are actually good because they're coming from a friend. The kisses here are coming from an enemy, and it's schmoozing. It's setting you up for a fall. You know, it's that whole idea of you shake somebody's hand that's a schmoozer, and then you check to make sure you have your wristwatch, you make sure you have all your fingers, your rings, all of that. Because you know they're up to something when they're kissing all over you like that. Verse number 7. One who is full, satiated, loathes honey. You know, oh, no, I can't have any dessert, right? Anybody that says that means I'm just so full, I can't even eat something I'd love to eat. So one who is full loathes honey. But to one who is hungry, famished, I mean practically starving, Everything bitter is sweet. Every little bite is something special. And so I think all of us understand the physical side of that proverb. Don't miss out on the spiritual side of it, the side of relationships. And that is when we've got everything we need, then we're not really interested in anything else. But when we have very little, even a small thing done for us is special. Verse 8. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. I think the idea here is familiarity. A bird sticks around in its own little territory, the place that it knows best. And so a person who goes out of their comfort zone, out into the world, they're taking chances. Now, that can be a good thing. That's true. But it can also be a scary thing. Verse number 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad. Remember, in this time, they anointed themselves with olive oil daily as part of their routine. And sometimes perfume would be added into the equation, especially for ladies. So oil and perfume can make a heart glad. You feel good. And the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. So just like you feel good when you're all dressed up and you've got your oil and your perfume on, it feels good when somebody that loves you and cares about you, one of your close personal friends, gives you some good advice. Now, it might be tough advice. Remember the earlier Proverbs. But it's good advice intended to help you out. And so that's sweet too. Verse 10. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. So maintain good relationships. You know, your dad, your mom probably have good friends, and those good friends can be friends to you as well. So don't forget about them. And then it says, do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Now that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? Don't go to your brother's house when you're having a bad time, when everything is falling apart. The next part explains what is meant. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. So perhaps your brother lives 30 miles away. Back at this time, that was a day's worth of walking. Maybe your brother lives 300 miles away. That's a day's worth of driving, right? Maybe they live 3,000 miles away. That's a good day of flying. When your life is falling apart, a day's walk, a day's drive, and a day's flight, that's too long to get assistance. If you've got a good, close neighbor that's a friend of yours, they can make a difference. That's the point of the proverb, is you've got close friends nearby. They might not be blood relatives, but they care about you. Verse 11. Be wise, my son. Make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. So Solomon originally wrote these. They're being transcribed by Hezekiah's men later. So Solomon was targeting one of his sons in particular, Rehoboam, who turns out to be a holy terror later. But he included all of his kids, all of his sons, and I think his daughters as well, in trying to help them see it's important to do the right thing in life. And so Solomon says, be wise, make me happy, so that when people start accosting me, reproaching me, saying nasty things to me about the things that I do, I will know that you're doing the right thing. And so that is the wish of every godly parent, is that their children will embrace the life of godliness and make them proud. Verse number 12. The prudent sees danger and then hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. We have a different proverb in our modern time. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, right? So smart people, thoughtful people, prudent people, people who are always paying attention to their environment, when they see trouble coming, they get out of the way. But naive people, people who are just stumbling their way through life, they're the ones that are not going to see danger and end up becoming victims. Soon it'll be Christmas shopping season. And one of the things that they'll remind you of is when you go to the big shopping areas, the strip malls or the big indoor malls, when you park, pay attention to your environment. Because thieves are looking for people that are not paying attention. That's the idea of the proverb here, is pay attention to your life. Don't go through it like a fool. Verse number 13. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for an adulteress. And actually, I think that the footnote I see in the English Standard at this point is probably more correct, that the word in its spelling is probably intended to mean foreigner rather than a strange woman. So the idea is don't co-sign for people you don't know. And if you do, you kind of deserve being brought up before the authorities when the default happens. And so don't do foolish things unless you're willing to have the consequences.